All right, now, the meeting will start in the Golden Age, Golden Age Committee of Igloo Number 4.
What date is this?
This is May the 12th, 1960, I hope.
May 12th, 1960. Okay, since that being the case, let's open them up. Let's open it up with the tickets.
All right, but each one give your name first.
Let's put the wording...
Put your name on it first.
Okay, Adolf Stark.
Mayor.
Bill Slotho.
Wally Burnett.
Stanley O'Judd.
Douglas Culp.
And Harry Hughes.
All right, now let's work on the wording of the ticket that we're going to have.
What do you think, Leo?
Well, then the top two lines we don't need.
You don't have to make it a interpretation the same as you did before?
Well, no, this time we're paying for a permit so we can do our raffling. We don't have to have this to be a donation.
Oh, you want it brief? What would you say, suggest on all of you? Give an idea. Pass the ticket around and let them read it, then.
Just let them all read it, yes.
The less you put on, the better it is, I think.
Huh?
The less you put on, the better it is.
Yeah. Well, Pioneer's Golden Days, Poker Gold Raffle.
Well, we want to reflect the best contribution, the same way as it is.
What difference does it make?
Well, why should it be a contribution this year? Because we done it last year?
Yeah, but if you use that term, you're getting away from a lot of legal...
Misunderstandings, yeah. It's better to put it down as a contributor
right,
to the pioneers.
That was my idea, so it's okay.
Let's say you're making a contribution, it is not a gamble. It's a voluntary idea. If you put it as a raffle, then it's a gamble. So well, you can still apply for that permit and get it legalized, and still you can use the same term.
It's a voluntary contribution, as you call it, and still we have to have a permit.
Well, that's right.
Fine,
you do.
Fine.
Because it's still a raffle.
Fine.
But if all buys a ticket and questions it, he's already given the money of his own free will. If he wins something, that's up to the pioneers, not
him. It's up
to
his luck.
Yeah, not up to him, see? No fixed tickets, in other words.
No. But I would suggest to mention the poker gold. We don't have to mention the amount.
No, poker gold...
No, this way. Three prices. A poker
three
gold
prizes.
And $100 worth of gold and $50.
How do you want to word it on the ticket?
Well, that's what I'm here for, to have us work it out.
We're open for a suggestion. How do you want to word the ticket? Three prizes, a poker gold, first and second prize?
We have three prizes.
So that'd be
first, second, and third prize.
Yeah, first, second, third prize. Mm-hmm. The poker gold and two nuggets. Well, is that what you want?
Well, it doesn't have to be nuggets if you don't get any. Then
it'll be a little poker gold.
It'll be all...
gold.
In little capsules.
Well, how much money are you going to put up for the entire prize? Now,
around, it'll be between $500 and $600 or $700.
No. Don't make it so stiff.
No.
That's what you figured the other night. You had more than that last year.
I figured $500.
You had more than that last year.
Not to go over $550.
You count the gold pan? You count the panning money too?
You remember we said last week not to go over $550?
You count the panning gold too?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
Only the price gold.
We're going to hold the drawing to a $500 limit, correct?
Yeah.
But we're still going to buy $250
yes.
worth of gold for panning.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. And then we're going to have more panners down this year, and you want to get a hold of everybody you know that'll spend a few hours down there.
Well, including the panning, I think $650 should be enough, huh?
Don't limit it that way, because we're going to have 3,000 tickets on this, don't forget.
All right.
We're going to sell them.
But you don't want to give it away.
No, but you want activity.
True enough.
You don't want to make 1,000%. We'd be satisfied if we make 50-50, wouldn't we?
True enough, but if you make 50%,
what's
you're starting
to...
$100 nugget and $50
nugget. And $50
nugget,
just like we had them last year.
I thought you had three.
First.
If we don't have nuggets and we mention them,
well,
it actually doesn't mean anything.
Well, I can get a Smith over here will give me a nugget that runs between $50 and $60. He's got one that he'll give me now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to bargain for it till I finally get all of it.
Mm-hmm. That's the
and
biggest
still
one.
Got NC to hear from.
Well, the biggest one we can get.
And
the big poke, $400
you
know.
Just put the street.
You know.
What's that?
That's the way, that's the way we have had it all
first
every year. The first prize. Around $400.
No amount.
2 or 3 years ago? Huh?
Do you want to put amounts on here? First prize?
Well, the poke of gold, well, probably, we could say $400 poke of gold.
You don't even leave the amount out, just the poke of gold.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But then again, they just mention it, make it this way. First, second, and third prizes.
Yeah, first prize, poke of gold, second prize.
$100 nugget? Yeah. What's the third price? $50.
Well,
$50 and $100.
Yes.
All right, the second prize would be $100, and the third prize would be $50.
You
can put it right on in here, place
it,
reword that a little bit right there.
We can put a little black sand in the poke of gold, what the hell.
Well, now you come up with the complete ticket.
You want to put the gold nugget up there, too. You want to get that.
Yeah.
And what number you want them to start at? Adolf?
Well...
You want them 1,000 to 4,000, 1,000 to 6,000,
yeah,
or what?
I think 1,000 to 4,000 is all right. If you take 3,000 tickets...
Or should you jump up and start at 5,000 and have higher numbers this year so that they couldn't switch an old one in on you? I know that.
You wouldn't have the same color.
Yeah, anyway. But they think we sold more.
They
the
are dated anyhow. Mm-hmm. Probably they won't be the same color.
The lower the numbers, the better you are.
Is that right?
If you put zero, it's going up.
You shouldn't have the same color anyway.
Well, unless you start at 25,000 or something.
What do you think, Stan?
Start with 100.
Start with 100 and go to 3,100.
Well, start with 1,000. 1,001, the first ticket.
Okay.
Book of gold.
You'll have to change
your
color from year to year, I guess.
The tickets will start at 1,001 and go to 4,001.
4,000.
You're just going to order 3,000?
4,000.
4,000,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to have them for by June the 6th meeting, the pioneers, so we can start getting rid of them quick?
Well, as soon as I can get them.
And take them down to the hall, and as many as people want to take them and let them do it. How about the ladies? You want to give some to the...
No,
to them to handle?
There will be some that'll do it voluntarily anyhow. Mm-hmm. Some like Sora, what's her name? Well, and there'll be a few more of the women that'll sell them anyhow.
Well, don't you think it'd be a good idea to tell the rest of them here that weren't to the meeting what happened at the general meeting in regard to the shaving permits and the other things that are going on and the women's costumes drawing?
Well, all of us here except Leo.
Leo, he doesn't know. And you was there, weren't you, Doug? No, you weren't. Both of them. Well, let them know what went on. How about it?
We'll find all that out. That'll be found out.
Okay.
Okay, then.
You want to run it off?
It's on here now. What do you got? Oh, you want me to run the other tape? It ain't necessary.
No. Hmm. Now then, shall we put something else about that?
That takes care of the tickets, and as I said, NC will come up in a few days and let me know if we're going to have the gold from them, and Bill Stroker's looking for it, too.
Let's see.
What, for gold dust? Nuggets?
Nuggets.
I've got several $100 in gold nuggets.
There you are.
If you can't find any.
Oh, an emergency. But
special fixed up for...
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like NC down there said they had furnished them several years before and they'd be glad to at cost. It's what it assays, not the net weight.
Yeah, well, I don't know what this would assay. I probably paid more than it assays.
Yeah, but down there, they'll give just what the miner turns it in for, the assay of the gold.
See, some of them run so low, as low as down around $20, $22, up to $28, $31, $34. Pure.
The people are working
with
them.
Yeah.
Do people usually take cash work, or do they take the nuggets when they do?
Like they were selling wheat.
How have they done before when they win it? When they win the gold?
Well, when gold was $16, boy, they was pretty particular that they got the exact content.
Yeah, but what the hell are you talking about for the miner sends it in for? You think we are goddamn dummies here? The NC is going to take my wood, what I send it in for? Are you trying to blindfold me? They're going to say the goddamn
thing. Still don't understand.
Oh, what the hell are you sitting on your ass and peddling me that bullshit? Been here as long as you have. For Christ's sake. If they take your wood and mine, they wouldn't be the NC. Or maybe not even Harry Hughes.
Good
tickets are all sell for $1. Yeah, should be on it.
Never on it anywhere before, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll probably have to recopy that.
That's, yeah, it's just an ID anyhow.
Yeah,
we'll leave it up to Tate off to get it set up then.
Look at it. Sure. Look at it, everyone.
They'll change it on you anyway.
Yeah, they will. This will give us a little lead there anyhow. And this is what we want. Mostly. Look at it, Stanley. Mostly what we want on the same ticket this year.
You're getting as bad as me. I mind you, I'm too damn cool. Friday night, and there's I didn't count them. There's approximately 200 canes, and there's 3 gross of mustaches. And the hats were all the way in the deal. I'll have to reorder hats, and I'll have to reorder canes.
Wasn't it about the gross of hats?
I don't know how many. They were stuffed way down in there, and I didn't want to take them out because I got them all over there.
I tell you, Wally, the gross of hats is about a box, about like so, and about so.
Yeah, and that's probably about what there are.
That's
probably about, they're probably about 100, between 100 and 140 hats, I'd say.
How many canes?
About 200 canes.
Is the back of the box open?
I don't know. Well, I've reading that letter that they said that they put them on consignment. So actually, I'm a funny kind of fellow. Well, I'd rather have a 5,000 and send back 2,000 than I would sell 3,000 and have 2,000 left over, or 2,000 short. Mm. But I don't know. I'm looking through that book there.
But I tell
there
you
are a lot of different things that possibly we could bring in on that. And
do you want to make a suggestion then? That maybe.
What I was going to suggest is that I don't know if the Pioneers will have a booth or not. But I think that we could have a booth down in the Midway and sell these hats and canes out of the booth and have a lot of other novelty items. There's a lot of them in there that would go over real good.
Wally. Doris.
Dooley?
What's her name?
Dooley. Doris Dooley.
She's handling the same kind of stuff.
Yes, she's handling the same stuff.
She's our competition.
She can't have a booth. We can have a booth and sell them out of the booth.
Well, why don't we cut her in on a commission and let her swing them?
I don't know.
How the hell is she handling the same?
Well, she can't handle all the hats and canes in the mug.
What do you mean?
How many hats and canes can sell in the mug?
I don't think she should handle our stuff. That's what I mean.
But I think that we can get a concession booth this time and sell our stuff out of the concession booth if we get people to operate it.
Well, that's just it. No.
You still didn't answer my question. Now I'm going to hold the floor. How is it that she's handling the same kind of a stuff as we do?
That's her sales business.
All over town last year.
That's her sales business. That's what she handles. That's what she sells.
She has had it all over town last year.
That's her stock and trade.
And the people came into the Eagles Hall.
What are you talking about? You're talking about hats, canes, and the mustaches.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that we was here long before Dooley ever come into this town?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the gold days was organized before she was ever got here? Now how the hell is she getting on this bandwagon?
Yes, she's not going to ask us for it.
Huh?
She's not going to ask us for it. She's in business for that.
That's her business. Novelty business, that's what she is. Popcorn, knickknacks, novelty.
She won't be doing it. There'll be a lot of them. I'll bet you that one that's going in with the black and white liquor.
All right, then. All we got to do is pass a motion at the next Pioneer meeting to abandon the goddamn golden days and it'll fall flat on its face. You understand that?
That's right.
Well, all right. Now, what the hell business? business has she got to sell a hat or a cane or a mustache when we've been doing that before she ever got here?
But listen, Stanley, you
cannot... I'm listening, yeah.
You cannot stop the people from buying it from her and come into our place to take advantage
well,
of the ticket.
She can either take it or lump it. You know what that means?
It's not going to do us any good.
Well, I'll talk to Doris and see what she can do. Maybe, I don't know, she'll handle him, no doubt about it. But we could take him, I think we could have a concession booth. Make a little booth and...
You know, here's a thought. This year, if you order more stuff,
I have to,
can we have a specified color?
You mean to tell me that that goddamn bag is so goddamn powerful that
the canes and hats and
control the whole goddamn
yellow
country here?
Instead of all mixed colors.
Oh, I imagine so.
You see?
What do you think about it?
Well, that I don't know. I'll have to take and get it, read the book a little more thoroughly.
And give it a little thought.
And then write them a note. They answer, I noticed a letter there was written one day and they had an answer back the next day. So I imagine it's...
What do you think of that thought, though?
Yeah, that's...
Adopt a standard color. You know, for instance, all gold, everything. Canes, everything except the mustache. They could be red instead of black.
Well, they don't identify these hats as pioneers, huh?
No, there's none so
well,
far.
Well, now, Doris
will have to come on. But not anymore.
You've got the edge on her anyway. You've got the edge on her anyway. You can have these fellas walking through the street, sell them, these old-timers can sell them, and they'll sell the jillions if they want to do it.
I tell you what,
we get out and work.
2 years ago, I was down here, right by the Federal Building, where we had the Midway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was selling hats and canes and mustaches there. I took in $70 just that one day.
She can't do that. See, they got to go to her house, to her place to buy them. She can't get out in the street and sell them, but we can.
That's right. She has to have feathers like
it. Doesn't make any... Let her sell them. It doesn't make any difference if she wants to.
But how is she going to sell them? In the booth?
Well,
she's going to sell
them. She'll sell
them
out of her store there in the behind the old Piggly Wiggly.
All right. Then let us put it that way. You are in business here. Now you have a certain amount of so-called local personality and so on, and you develop some kind of a fancy name or a drink, and then I'll get across the street and start selling another
That's
one.
What they do.
Using your name, huh?
Well, that's
bullshit.
That's bullshit to me.
Well, that's what she's doing.
Well, it's just the same thing. The First National Bank has been here for years, and Alaska National opened up. They're doing the same thing the First National did.
Of course, it's almost the same.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same as ours.
No, you going out of the goddamn
cabin. I don't remember. Who did they say? They mentioned that he was handling the...
He said he used the word we.
Well,
booth
and handle.
Well, I was...
So the golden days...
I was thinking if the pioneers got a booth, well, it wouldn't be too much nobody else ever.
For your information, at the Chamber of Commerce Committee, they appointed costumes, Lena Jones, and Mrs. Tom Calvin, and Mrs. Higgins, and Mrs. Southwall. And for the beards, it was Don Pearson and Al Gregory. And for the outboard association, Al Hager. And chairman, Bob Caffey, and vice chairman, Ken Siebert. And for news, they give John Griffin, Bischoff, and Bob Johnson. And that's all I got the first meeting. That's all the committee was looking for.
If they're going to sell the beards, then the hell with it. Then let us just forget it and play with
it. They're not on here on the beards and the canes and cats at all. That was pioneers. And the float and the gold padding is strictly pioneers and the nuggets. That was understood the first night.
And the
canes and the hats. Canes and the hats and mustaches and pioneers. That was understood.
They won't overlap in
the
concessions.
Well, then we have
anything to speak. Listen, talk about concessions, Wally. Now, about 4 years ago, we had Frank Chappados and I and Howard Brown and two or three more. We put up frames for the pins, you see. We nailed them together and just put them up on Midway, you see. And then we figured, well, we had the pioneer women take over the booth, sissy, and do the selling. We had Dia McKenna and Linda Schaefer. It was the only two that came out and done any selling.
Well, yes.
Don't hit this. It goes through. You'll find powder on here.
But there's a possibility. There are a lot of these fellows like myself. I'd be willing to put in a half a day, and I'm sure that we can get a lot of these others on it. And
you can. I couldn't. I'm working.
Well, I work too, but there are different hours. We don't.
Well, you're probably your own boss.
After 6 o'clock in the evening, you don't work, do you?
Sure, you can put in the evening.
You work at you work 8 hours a day. That concession booth will be open 12, 14 hours a day.
To 10 o'clock at night, at least.
Stanley can work.
Yeah,
a lot of people can work.
Yeah,
all you have to do is watch them get out and get with them. Maybe they won't.
Is that thing on?
Yep. You want it off?
You better shut it.
A little heaven.
Who's printing them?
Newsman. Commercial printing.
Well,
did you get what's the deal on that? They do all the printing from Pioneer?
No. They split it between Justin's and them. Oh, see?
I think
so they get the tickets and whatever else we have goes to Jefferson.
Well, I think Jefferson's entitled to something.
No, wait a minute. I'll give you an example of that now. Last year we had a reprint of the Dawson paper, the first volume of the Dawson paper. So I was the guy that went there and done all the negotiating and so on. And Glass Holman, the Swede, you know, he owned the original. And I brought it up here. Now, I don't know whether his superintendent knows how to figure. That's not my business or yours and so on. But his figures, then I come back here, and Jesus Christ, man, that either that guy lost his ass or this one is getting rich awful fast, for there was $375 or something plus tax when we got through with it. This one wanted $1,100. But just turned right around on the tickets, they went $5 below Jessen's figures. Now, how the hell you figure that out? I don't know.
Oh, another thing I want to ask, on those reprints, have you got a bunch of them on hands that we could...
What's his name has them here?
Paul Grammer?
Paul said he had about 500.
Well, are they going to be dispersed to you, Wally?
I am. That's the first I've heard of them.
Stanley. Well, we want to get them out, but he's making a point where he's going to disperse these things one place in town where they can all go, all during the carnival and before, to pick up their items, so we don't have to chase all over town. And that's a good spot.
Well, we'll do that either there or we'll do it
Stanley.
Out of the
mm-hmm.
50 cents
that's
a piece.
That's a good idea to have the booth.
You might want to start a few days ahead with canes and hats or anything like that.
You can't start until that starts. You can't until things get in action.
Just the gold post tickets is all we can sell.
Offset.
Okay.
Well,
you
take
canes and hats last year.
Stanley, how many were printed last year?
And I bought canes and hats for our costume.
For that, 2,000 with printed?
Looking around for
For $375, wasn't it?
That was $350 plus the sales tax, and I think it came around $374.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
To prove it to you.
I saw that at Jason's today.
Yes, it makes some real good money.
In Seattle last fall, the part of September, first part of October, and the people I stay with, the same guy, they know him. That's all you might know. There's a friend that lives next door to him, and I submitted the figure to him.
Well, they will.
See what the hell they could do. And Jesus, they went double. So what that guy done? He's right in Seattle. I don't know what the hell. That guy must have run off his rocker. That's all right. That was no fault of ours, you know. But we had them, it was 10 by 7, I think. And here they would have just made a...
I was in charge there. We sold them a hat and a cane and a mustache for $1.
Yeah, that's it. And it cost you about 25 cents for the whole horse, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Well, now they're worth 30 cents, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of this stuff, a lot of this goofy stuff that these kids would go crazy. I know I used to... Okay, we might even start a Golden Days fad. We'd get some of these goddamn kind of things for the kids, start a fad for them. They can start, you know, if two or three come out with something,
they'll all go.
You know, two or three come out with them, well, I give them to 15 or 20 of them to walk around.
They'll all
Christ,
go.
Where do they get it? Well, I brought it down to that booth there. Well, Jesus Christ, they'll all have one.
That's a good wrinkle.
Oh, sure, it's tremendous.
Could you get these with...
I know that women used to come around and have two or three kids or four kids. Give me four hats and four canes.
Mm-hmm. I'm so
mustaches.
Jesus Christ, first. And then Golden Days someplace. So
did you get that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Anything
like that. These are good. Well, they available for this. This in here is per dozen. See, that's a dollar.
Oh, Jesus Christ, we can't go for that.
No, we don't need
no, but that's
different kind of stuff in there. Have a stack there where you can sell it.
That's right.
So you double your money or triple your money out with
that's what you want to do.
Yeah, we're going up
the hell with any games
for them.
But some little wrinkle like you suggested will make the publicity to sell everything else.
Plus, we sold them at the door also.
See, that's what we do. We sold at the door.
You walk down. You come in with a ticket to see.
Well, I'd rather use some afternoon not doing anything, so I say, here, 15, 20 hands, get out there and sell them. Get these old guys around saying, get the hell out and sell those things.
Every rock.
But some of them is down in the kids' price will help the
you old fellas can sell a lot of them easier than I can. I mean, not because they go get on hand, but they won't buy them from the old timers. A lot easier than they buy from the
economical. Yeah,
well, if the old timers really work, they can kind of say they're pretty popular item.
Claim and a half. Now, have you got anything else, Harry?
Well, that was all. Paul didn't come in. We wanted to get him organized on Paul Drinovich on the gold panning. He's got a conscript, a bunch of help on that this time. And Louis Johnson.
Well, there is still time next meeting.
Oh, yeah, but that's about all that we had on the. Unless we got.
But the next meeting is our. Well, then we still have one more meeting.
All right, now is there any suggestion from anybody about anything else they'd like to have to work in with this to help boom it up or give it a little publicity? How about you, Doug? You have said a word.
He's here. Jesus Christ.
I don't know about Buckwheat.
The three wise monkeys? We used to get those all the time.
From the auction. Is he a fine
deal? Oh, yeah.
It's just a thing that they give away.
Bucko, I got a good report.
Oh, yeah. He's a fine deal.
Well, then he was sponsoring Bobby Johnson.
That's right.
And I suppose if somebody got to him, you know, because if you get to him in the wrong way, he'll blow his goddamn lid and you get nowhere. But if you got to him the right way, maybe Johnson could kindly give us a little publicity.
All right, now listen, I'll explain to you something about that. Sunday at the hospital, Bucko was in the hospital, and Andrew Dragish and Clyde Burkett were in to greet the pioneers like they normally do on the visiting day. And I went along with the pioneers tape recorder. And we got Bucko on the tape. And Bucko, while we was talking there, he asked, he didn't think his dues was paid up. He didn't think the pioneers should visit with him. So he got his checkbook out and he wrote his lifetime membership dues. And then we turned around while we sit there talking. He wrote another check for $75 to the beer fund. And Andrew Wickham will bring that up at the next meeting and turn it in.
Well, with Andrew, the one from, he used to be at Lignite?
No, Andrew Wickham, over here. Andrew Wickham, my neighbor.
Well, carpenter.
Dragic. You said Dragic.
No, Andrew Wickham.
It was Paul.
Oh. Paul Drabinovich is the panner. But he didn't come in, you see. So we got a kick out of it.
Now you got it in your lap. Now who's going to be the head of the panning business?
Well, this Paul. Paul, right after we finish here, do you want to go with me out to Esther?
Where is he?
He's out at Esther.
You said where is he?
He's working for Don Pearson at Esther.
Well, he was just telling you.
He's working for Don Pearson.
He ain't telling you nothing. I told him. Now, you said he's here. Now, where is he?
No, I didn't say he's here. I didn't say he's here. I said it's Paul that's in charge of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, where is he?
Yeah, where is he?
We'll pour some heat on him. But Don Pearson's holding him out there because they got a little self-enterprise out there for that tourist that they're trying to collect money on, too. They're going to have gold panning out there for the tourists. And they're bringing up this... they're bringing this solid ground up from about 80-foot hole they're talking about and going to put it out there in pans for the tourists at the resort.
All right. Now, your golden days dates are just about in the... Right in the heart of your tourist season. Now, is he going to be here? Is he going to organize this goddamn thing? Or is it going to be a flop? But remember, your panning is your biggest attraction here.
Well, do you want to go out there with me tonight?
Well, I'd like
to see if we can find him.
No, I'll go out there with you Saturday. I won't go out tonight.
But you know why I live in
here. Yesterday, and I told you, and you said, yeah, he was bringing
me. Well, they told me he'd be in here.
That biggest bullshitter, what the hell?
Oh, careful, you better get this thing all fogged up.
Yeah, well, don't pierce him, you believe him.
All right, you'll take care of getting the vehicle for him then.
Well, Coleman will get together with him. That's Coleman.
That's Coleman down.
If he's going to be the committee, let him get in and do it because if he's not, he'll be. It'd be slight. When he takes all the job, if he can't do it the way he wants, they give.
Sure, that's right.
Take half of it away from him.
Well, now, if we're going to have any more meeting before our June the 6th Pioneer meeting, let's decide now, and let's get around and get anybody that's supposed to come in on
well,
it.
Well, I don't think it's necessary. The only thing that's important is for
Adolf
to get the tickets and to get the
and the goal
to sell them. Because this here
permit
will,
to sell them,
this
right.
will take care of itself, and I'll have it all arranged by the time the next meeting comes up, and I'll know if we can have a concession booth, and I'll have in my mind what I'm going to get, and then I'll let them okay it at the meeting. We'll let the bulk of the members, if they want it, they can have it. If they don't, we'll just have the Canes.
Well, anybody that's of the pioneers that's interested or wants to find any information, they either come to you or Paul Graham's garage here, one of the two. That'll take care of that part of it.
No, there's not going to be anyone well, about that until July.
I don't know about this.
Well, he's supposed to have been notified.
Who?
Colonel Dunn.
Him being
McDonald.
Chairman of the committee.
Colonel Dunn.
It's all up to him.
I think he was at the last
concession
meeting.
Booth or not.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I mean, well, I'll check on it all, and I'll go to him and before the meeting. He can bring it to
Paul.
You and
him, the colonel knows that he's
well,
the chairman.
Just like he said. Well, I don't think
I'm going to show him because he announced.
Oh, how about it, he said. I was coming up for next Lacey Street this week.
Never his life.
To come here, you see. And he was already there at the corner.
Yeah,
he says, how about it? I told him it's not in effect till Monday.
Oh,
16, isn't it?
Yeah. I put $10 up or something. That's just my donate to all these funds here. By the time you get it back to where it does any good,
no, they get a dime.
Well, yeah.
They get a
dime.
June the 6th, the next meeting at Pioneers Hall. Sam, there's no offense to anything that's heard on here. Is it all right if we play it back to the Pioneers for him?
Whatever you want.
Come on, talk up.
You can play it to the Pope of Rome. It's all right with me.
All right, now you wait.
The territory of Alaska has an interest in Wheat's Field, as is evidenced by the minutes of the meeting of the Conference Council of the town of Fairbanks in the year 1927, a copy of which minutes are attached to the complaint of the plaintiff herein and referred to as Exhibit G. It is or should be evident to the court that funds from the treasury of the territory of Alaska were used in the construction of Wheat's Field. By the same token, 32-4-1 of Alaska Compile Laws Annotated, 1949, states that in the second and fourth divisions of Alaska, 30% of any and all funds which have heretofore been made available, or which shall have hereafter be made available, for the construction and operation and maintenance of roads, trails, bridges, or ferries, and which may not otherwise be required for immediate use therein, may be used for the construction, maintenance, and illumination of airplane landing fields and hydroplane ports and moorings. This act was passed in 1929. Section 32-4-6 states, it shall be unlawful to park or place upon any runway of any aviation field in this territory any wagon, sled, motor vehicle, or other article, unless such wagon, sled, motor vehicle, or other article is actually used in connection with the construction or repair of such landing field. This section was supplemented by additional legislation passed in 1951 by the territorial legislature. Section 32-4-7 makes a violation of the act a misdemeanor. Chapter 23 of the laws of 1943 is commonly known as the Modern Airport Zoning Act, which act covers and governs the use and operation of airports and provides criminal liability for the violation thereof. It should be particularly noted that Section 32-5-1 subsection 1 states, airport means any public-owned area of land or water designed for the landing or taking off of aircraft and utilized or to be utilized by the public as a point of arrival or departure by air. With these territorial statutes in mind, it should become abundantly obvious that the territorial legislature has not abandoned to the municipalities or any political subdivision of the territory a complete authority to regulate or dispose of public airports. Council feels that it is not necessary to cite to this court any of the myriad of decisions which hold political subdivisions of a state have only the authority which is expressly delegated to them, and any authority which is claimed by such political subdivision is strictly construed against such political subdivision. Section 16-1-35, 5th B, Alaska Compiled Laws Annotated 1949, grants to municipalities authority to acquire, construct, maintain, and operate airports, airplane landing fields, hydro, and amphibious plane moorages, anchorages, and terminal stations. Such section does not, however, grant unto municipalities any right to sell, lease, convey, or otherwise dispose of the same. 16-1-35-4 grants to municipalities the privilege of purchasing, constructing, or otherwise acquiring, establishing, and operating public wharves, public coal storage plants, telephone systems, and plants for the use, sale, and distribution of light, water power, heat, and telephone services, and other municipal utilities. It should be here noted that this section does not grant unto such municipalities the right to sell, lease, convey, or otherwise dispose of such municipal utilities. Subsection 6 of Section 16-1-35 states as follows. To provide for fire protection, public health, police protection, and relief of the destitute and indigent. Subsection 20 of 16-1-35 attempts to grant to municipalities the right to dispose of such real estate and other property or interest therein, whether now owned and held or hereafter acquired, including property acquired or held for any public use or devoted thereto, when, in the judgment of the City Council, the same shall no longer be required for municipal purposes by sale, lease, donation, or other disposition. It should be carefully noted, therefore, that in said section neither is there named any municipal utility, nor is an airport specifically mentioned. Surely an anomalous situation would result if it were construed by this or any other court that a municipality had the right to dispose of all of its real and personal property acquired for the protection of the general public by virtue of the establishment of a fire department. It is believed that no court would construe the authority granted in subsection 20 of 16-135 as granting to a municipality a right to dispose of the property in which the municipal sewer lines were established. Nor is it reasonable to assume that the territorial legislature, having reserved to itself authority to govern airports and regulate the use thereof, and having expended territorial funds for the construction, operation, and maintenance of airports, did grant or intend to grant unto municipalities authority to convey or otherwise dispose of the same without specific authority, when to so act would be detrimental to the taxpayers of the entire territory. It should be noted that the legislature did not intend that property devoted to a public use should be sold as sites for new industries, as that provision in 16-135-20 is established in a separate paragraph thereon. In the case at bar, it is obvious that the City Council intended to make Weeks Field available for new industries, allegedly beneficial to the public welfare. Airplanes are designed for use in long-distance travel and transport. Seldom, if at all, are they used in travel confined to the geographical limits of the municipality. Airplane travel affects both interstate and intrastate commerce, and necessarily aviation is a matter of primary concern to the federal and state governments. Airspace, apart from the immediate reaches above the land, is a part of the public domain. United States versus Cosby, 328 U.S., page 256, 66 Supreme Court, page 1062, State Ex Rel Helsel versus Board of County Commissioners, 79 Northeast 2nd, page 698, cited in 1947. Airports with their runways and landing fields provide necessary avenues to the highways of the air. Without them, travel and transportation by airplane is impractical, if not impossible. A judicial determination that would deny the territory of Alaska and its lawfully delegated agents the power to provide safe and adequate facilities for travel by air would be repugnant to a fundamental concept of necessary sovereign power. Manifestly, such a prohibition cannot arise by implication. To hold in the instant case that the city of Fairbanks may sell, lease, convey, or otherwise dispose of Weeks Field, real property in which and upon which territorial funds were expended, without having joined or secured the approval of the territory of Alaska, would be to hold in effect that the property acquired, constructed, or maintained by the expenditure of public funds of the people of the entire territory is subject to the whim and caprice of the local governing body. Such holding would in effect be an abridgment of the power inherent in a sovereign state. In the instant case, there is no obligation upon municipalities to own and operate public utilities. However, Section 16-1-35 grants unto municipalities authority to own and operate municipal and public utilities and airports in the interest, convenience, and comfort of their inhabitants. Where municipalities have elected to do so, to do, or to omit certain acts, they are acting in a private or proprietary capacity. See Worcester versus Arvin, 156 Northeast, page 210. State versus Board of County Commissioners, 79 Northeast 2nd, 698. In reference to public utilities and airports, Section 16-1-35 grants to municipal corporations powers which the territorial legislature may confer upon private corporations. But such section vests no power in municipalities to exclude the territory from exercising or delegating authority in relation to the ownership and operation of public and municipal utilities or airports. It does in fact become obvious from the enactment of the territorial legislatures of Chapter 1 through 6 of Title 32, Alaska Compiled Laws, page 1949, that the territorial legislature intended to and did in fact retain authority over maintenance, construction, operation, and disposal of public airports. Landing fields and all rights and incidents thereto. To this theory, credence is given and further borne out by the grant of authority to municipalities to expend territorial funds for maintenance, construction, repair, and operation of public airports, which airports, by their very title, are not restricted to the members of a particular municipality, but are open to and grant sanctuary to all and sundry of the general public who operate the ships of the air. To say that municipality, without the consent of the territory of Alaska, can close a public airport into which it's own territorial funds, is to say that such municipality could close or could restrict to the citizens of the municipality a bridge or library or a hospital which had been built in part by the use of territorial funds. Such a tenet is absurd to the extent of requiring no comment. A municipality-owned airport is a public utility. The real property of a municipal corporation constituting a part of its wholly owned and operated public airport is exempt from taxation as public property. Application of City of Marion, Ohio, 68 Northeast, 2nd, 391 at 392. The authority given to municipalities in this state under the General Code to purchase and condemn land for landing fields for aircraft and transportation terminals. Rights of way for connection with highway, railway, gives to such establishment the character of a public utility, and all laws applicable to municipalities and municipal utilities are applicable thereto. State versus Jackson, 167 Northeast, 393, 32 Ohio Appellate, 152. An equipped municipal aviation field is both a public service property and the public utility. The establishment of such a field is a governmental purpose. State versus Johnson, 220 Northwest, 273, 117 Nebraska, 301. The municipal airport is a public utility within the constitutional grant to municipalities of the right to own and operate public utilities. State, ex rel. Hellsville versus Board of Commissioners of Cuyahoga County, 79 Northeast 2nd, 698 and 703. Citing Toledo versus Jenkins, 54 Northeast 2nd, 656. 143 Ohio 141. Municipal airports and landing fields are of the character of public utilities, and all of the laws applicable to municipally owned utilities are applicable there too. Jones versus Keck, 74 Northeast 2nd, 644 and 646, 79 Ohio Appeals, 549, citing State ex rel. Chandler versus Jackson, 167 Northeast 396. Municipal corporations have the power to expend money for the acquisition and maintenance of airports under the provisions of their charters, authorizing the furtherance of corporate purposes. Having examined all of the available authorities, council has in fact been unable to find a decision holding other than that the construction, maintenance, and operation of the municipal airport is anything other than a public utility. This being so, we call the court's particular attention to the failure of the legislature to grant unto its municipal corporations authority to dispose of any municipally owned utility. Municipalities in the territory of Alaska do under Section 16135 have authority to own and operate public utilities or public services, this being a matter not only of statutory but common law authority as well. It is also noted that municipalities may purchase from partnerships, associations, corporations, or individuals under contract services for the benefit and welfare of their inhabitants in the nature of heat, light, water, and other public services. Section 16-1-35-20 reads in part as follows. To sell, lease, or otherwise dispose of such real estate and other property or interest therein, whether now held or owned or otherwise acquired, including property acquired or held for any public use or devoted thereto. Council submits that authority of this type has been frequently litigated, and that though there is a split of authority in reference to the validity of a sale of municipally owned property devoted to a public use, and we cite the court to 141 ALR, page 1450. No case has been discovered by council which granted to a municipality the authority to sell, lease, or otherwise dispose of a municipal light plant or waterworks which is devoted to the public use, both within and without the bounds of the municipality, without disposing of the same to an individual partnership or corporation which would in fact continue to serve the public in the manner to which they have been served by the municipality. It is elementary public utility law, see Thomas v. Steele, 142, Oklahoma 38, 285, page 92. It is elementary public utility law that a body corporate or politic, having once adopted the course of conduct by which it serves the public, cannot thereafter abandon the service which they had initially instituted without the consent of the state. This regardless of whether or not the service was being performed to the financial loss or detriment of the public utility. Counsel for plaintiffs submit that the town of Fairbanks cannot now abandon the service to which they have been heretofore committed themselves after having entered upon a course of conduct which required affirmative action, that is, operating and maintaining a public airport, not only for the members of the inhabitants of the city, but for the general public as well. It is the contention of counsel for the plaintiffs that the authority of a municipal corporation to sell, lease, or otherwise dispose of real estate or other property, as is specified in Section 16-1-35-20, when being applied to the authority of a municipality to sell property which has been devoted to the public use or which has become charged with the public trust, must be read in the light of Title 29, Chapters or Title 49, Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of the Alaska Compiled Laws, 1949. It is the contention of the council that the territorial legislature, in granting authority for the establishment of utility districts intended to and did in fact grant to all such districts all of the authority to acquire and sell property that had theretofore been granted to municipalities in references to such public utilities. In this connection, it should be noted that section 49-2-21 grants to each public utility district power and authority to purchase, lease, or otherwise acquire such real and personal property as it deems necessary and convenient in the transaction of its business, and may dispose of such personal property held by it, and may exercise the right of eminent domain, and shall have the power to construct, maintain, operate, alter, and improve dams, reservoirs, powerhouses, power structures, transmission lines, waterworks, life plants, hospitals, wharves, docks, warehouses, cold storage plants, canneries, etc., etc. It should be carefully noted that this section grants authority to acquire real property by condemnation, but grants authority to sell only personal property. Further, Section 49-2-23 grants to public utility districts in the territory of Alaska authorization to construct, improve, extend, repair, better, reconstruct, acquire, and operate any and all types of public utilities and improvements. Nowhere did the legislature grant to any public utility or school district authority to sell, lease, convey, or otherwise dispose of any real property which is acquired for utility purpose. It is reasonable to assume that the fair intendment of the territorial legislature in reference to public utilities was to grant such public utility districts full and complete authority to act in reference to such property as that authority which had been therefore granted by them to the municipalities. This being so, and in view of the failure of the legislature to grant authority to a utility district to convey real property, personal property being specifically mentioned, it is reasonable to assume that the legislature intended only that municipalities could lease, convey, or otherwise dispose only of that real property which has not become impressed with the public trust. Assuming, however, that the court believes by virtue of 16-135 that neither the territory of Alaska nor the general public has an interest in Wheatsfield which cannot be alienated by the town of Fairbanks, attention is therefore directed to the following line of cases. In the case of Daytona Beach versus Steigert, 1 South 2nd 170, the court dealing with an ordinance which provided as follows: the city shall have the power to purchase, lease, acquire by eminent domain, receive and hold property real and personal, within or without the limits of the territorial boundaries of said municipality, and to sell, alienate, convey, lease, or otherwise dispose of the same for the benefit or advantage of said municipality, and may purchase, acquire by eminent domain, lease, receive, and hold real property and personal property within or without the limits of territorial boundaries of said municipality, to use for the burial of the dead, for the erection, construction, maintenance of waterworks and life plants, for the establishment of hospitals, poorhouses, and houses of detention and correction, for the establishment of docks, wharves, bulkheads, breakwaters, boat basins, public parks, playgrounds, golf grounds, fairgrounds, airports, seaplane bases, and for such other public purposes as the City Commission may by ordinance or otherwise dispose of said property for the benefit of said municipality to the same extent that natural persons could do. In discussing the aforementioned statute, the court said that power is granted to acquire, own, and dispose of real estate, but no authority is granted to the city to dispose of property impressed with the public trust. We are here involved with an airport owned by the people of the city of Daytona Beach. If the power of authority to lease this property exists, it must clearly appear by the terms of the city charter, or by a statute applicable generally to the several municipalities of Florida. It is well established that if a doubt exists whether a statute authorized a municipality to exercise certain power, then that doubt should, as a matter of law, be resolved by the court against the municipality. Nash v. Vaughn, 133 Florida, 499. 182 Southern, 827. Williams v. Town of Tonellum, 125 Florida, 114. 169 Southern, 631. It is well established that a municipality can exercise powers only which are expressly granted and by fair and reasonable intendment are conferred or granted, and if the power to lease or rent an airport to a private individual on the part of a municipality is not fully and clearly granted by legislative enactment, then said power or authority is withheld, and the lease is void for want of power on the part of the municipality to enter into such lease. In ruling on a statute similar to the above, the court held in the case of Mitchell v. Coffeyville, 127 Kansas, 663, 274 Pacific, 258, no authority was granted to the city of Coffeyville to lease or sublet its municipal airport. A municipal corporation has no power to rent or sell to private persons municipal property which it holds for a public use, at least in the absence of a charter or statutory enactment empowering it to do so, either in express terms or by necessary intendment. See also Kellum v. Cherokee County, 169 Georgia 313, 150 Southern or Southeast, 158. Wakely v. Johnson, 295 Illinois Appellant 77, 14 Northeast 2nd, 692. Dixon Theater v. Lambert, 16 Pacific 2nd, 515. Presley v. Vernon Parish School Board, 139 Southern, 692. American Dock Company v. New York, 21 New York Supplement 2nd, 943. Cape Cod Steamship Company v. Provincetown, 295 Massachusetts 65, 3 Northeast 2nd, 244. In American Dock Company v. New York, 21 New York Supplement 2nd, 943, the court ruled, the general rule is laid down in the Meriwether v. Garrett, 102 U.S. 472, which is as follows. In its streets, or cemeteries, hospitals, courthouses, and other public buildings, and we submit airports, the corporation has no proprietary rights distinct from the trust for the public. It holds them for the public use, and to no other use can they be appropriated without special legislative sanction. It would be a perversion of that trust to apply them to other uses. Section 16-1-3520 grants to municipalities within the territory of Alaska authority to lease, sell, or donate and or exchange with the United States, the territory of Alaska, or any public political subdivision thereof, any real estate or other property or interest therein now hold or hereafter acquired, whenever in the judgment of the City Council it shall seem advantageous to the city. It is to be particularly noted, this section does not grant municipalities authorities to lease, sell, donate, or convey property held as an airport. The weight of authority is that a municipal power is applied only when its exercise is an express duty or authority is rendered nugatory, and where particular powers are expressly conferred upon municipality, and there is also a general grant of power. Such general grant by intendment includes only such powers as are fairly within the terms of the grant and are essential to the purposes of the municipality, and not in conflict with a particular power expressly conferred. See 37 American Jurisprudence, Municipal Corporations. Here only, section 112. Here only, general authority is granted.